Thanks, Brother Walker, for the introduction. Since Brother Walker was moving from San Antonio to Austin, he used a lot of our boxes from our house since we moved to San Antonio. And I'm glad that he was moving up to Austin because he helped clean out my garage with all the boxes he took off my hand. I appreciate that so much. Brother Taylor's book, the book about Brother Taylor, I think that's going to be a pretty good book to read. I couldn't imagine if my wife wrote a book about me. I don't think I'm ready for that, and hopefully she won't have to do that, because who knows what that's going to say in that book. Last night, Richard Rutledge mentioned to me that last night Rick Brumbeck said my title was Holiness and Drug Use. Well, there is no holiness in drug use. We're going to talk about how there is not holiness in drug use and what the Bible has to say. Richard Rutledge indeed did a great job the last hour. We appreciate his lecture that he gave. Indeed, it was a very great lecture, and it's good to have the tapes, good to see the Tullers, and we're so thankful for your presence here, and it's certainly a pleasure to be back at the Southwest Lectures once again. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here, and I'm proud to be a graduate of the Southwest School of Bible Studies as well. I'll never forget when I first moved to Austin, Texas, I thought this is a very crazy city. I'll never forget one time I was driving down Congress Street, and as I was driving, I thought I saw Batman out of the corner of my eye. Sure enough, while I was driving, I looked over to the left, and it was Batman, dressed up in a full suit, jumping over trash cans, jumping over benches, dodging trees, running down Congress Street towards the Capitol. But it's a crazy city. But there is one thing that is great about this city, and that is the Southwest School of Bible Studies and also the Southwest congregation here. I truly believe that you know how much good that you're actually doing for the kingdom of God and for His kingdom. There is much good that has been brought about by this congregation, and we're thankful for everyone here. I truly love the elders, Rick Brumbeck, the members, and especially the secretaries that are part of the congregation here, and especially its members as well. The topic that has been assigned to me is holiness and drug use and abuse. But what a pertinent topic, and what a great scripture to have for our theme of the lectureship, and that comes from Titus 2 and verses 11 through 12. And there it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Indeed, there is a major problem in our society when it comes to drug use and to drug abuse. It's sad, not only is there a problem in our society or in the world today, there is a great problem in the United States with drug abuse. There is a problem with inside of marriages when it comes to drug abuse. Even in our school systems, we find that even many times that families are separated because of drug use and abuse. But what does the Bible teach about these mind-altering drugs that we're going to be talking about this morning? What does the Bible say about intoxication? And what does it say about addiction? Is drug use immoral, or is it moral? Is it something that a child of God can use? But what about such things as marijuana, cocaine, narcotics, LSD, stimulants, hallucinogens, sedatives, hypnotics, psychedelics, and heroin? What does God say that a Christian indeed should believe? There are many things that I cannot even begin to talk about that I have written in the manuscript that was put into the book. Just in 37 minutes, it's impossible to mention so many things about drug abuse, but we're going to mention some things that maybe will cause us never to get involved in it. Maybe if we're using drugs at the current moment, maybe there is something that the Word of God will say to you this morning that will cause you to stop. But no one can deny that drug abuse is a serious problem in our moral society today. 2/3 of American kids try an illegal drug before they finish high school, and that's amazing. 2 out of every 3 kids. If alcohol is included, the number is closer to 90%. 1/3 of all American kids try an illegal drug or other than marijuana before they finish high school. The leading causes of death between ages 15 to 24 is drunk driving. And during the early 1990s, marijuana was the most common drug used amongst teens. amongst teens. And it has increased by 50% in every age level. So we find that the drug problem is only getting worse in this country. It's only getting worse in our homes. And sometimes we think about drug use just being in the homes of those who live in the world. But that's not the case any longer. That has not been the case for some time. It's even found its way into Christians' homes. But there are many forces that are out there that influence our young people and even those who are older to participate in drug use. We find much of the modern music, much of the movies, the internet sites, television programs glorify the use of drugs and illegal drugs, especially such drugs as marijuana. And today we find that marijuana is openly promoted in concerts, CDs, and even places like MySpace, and even on clothes, and it sends the teens a message that it is accepted and that it is not dangerous, and that if you want to be cool and popular, to use such drugs. The young people in school, indeed, are continually surrounded by drug abuse. I'll never forget when I was in high school, when I graduated in 1993, that there were even kids who used drugs right in the middle of class. The teacher saw what they were doing, but they didn't realize what it was, that it was drugs. But that's back in 93. I sometimes talk to a lot of young people and teach a lot of young people in Bible classes, and the problem has only gotten worse. But yet we find that today in the Bible class that I taught while I was in Boyd, Texas, I asked the question, how many of you know someone who has personally used drugs or addicted to drugs? 8 out of the 9 kids in my class said that they knew someone personally who was affected by drugs. But the purpose of our study this morning is to address and look at the problem of drug abuse and to see what it says in light of God's Word. Now, we are not talking about prescription drugs this morning. We are not talking about using drugs for a medicinal purpose, as Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23. So many times we think about illegal drugs, or we think about drug abuse, and we think about people who sell drugs. Well, finding drugs and abusing drugs is as easy now as going into one's medicine cabinet. And we have seen the commercials on television. But we must ask, before we take any type of drug, is it right with God? Is it legal? Why am I taking it? But we are discussing mind-altering drugs used for social purpose, such as going to maybe a party and using drugs. Maybe we use them because of peer pressure or to escape reality, or we simply just like the effect of that drug upon our mind. But this morning, I would like for us to look at some key facts or some characteristics in different types of drugs that are out in the world today, and I think it's truly important that we do that. Some of us may say, well, Mel, I won't ever get involved in drugs. I think we need to take heed lest we fall. We never know what's going to happen. Maybe if we were to lose our family, maybe if something tragic would happen to us, how would we change? But with drug use and abuse being out there, and Christians trying to be holy to the Lord, I think there are a few things that we need to know. The first category of drugs is what is called stimulants. These stimulate the nervous system, and that's an easy way to remember it, including the brain. This mainly includes amphetamines such as speed, uppers, dexies, bennies, and some people classify cocaine here, but others view it as a narcotic. There are some short-term effects that these stimulants have upon the body, such as blurred vision, sleepiness, anxiety, moodiness, and a high that is intoxication with the false sense of self-confidence, power, and well-being. It can produce hallucinations, seeing or hearing things that are not there. Delusions, irrational thought, paranoia, thinking that people are out to get you. And keep in mind, the people who use drugs indeed are very dangerous. But there are also some long-term hazards as well. It can cause ulcers, malnutrition, brain damage, lung disease, heart disease, stroke, or kidney disease. But yet we have seen individuals who are on drugs. We see what it does to their life and what it does to their bodies. But secondly, there are also sedatives, or also known as hypnotics, opposite of stimulants. These depress the nervous system, including the brain. These also include barbiturates, heroin, and other opiates, and marijuana are sometimes classified here. Now, there are some short-term effects upon the body, but keep in mind with drugs, there are also some long-term effects. Even though we might stop using drugs, that still does not mean that we may be suffering those consequences for some time. But the short-term effects are slurred speech, staggering, poor judgment, and reflexes. And poor judgment, indeed, is a serious thing. There are some long-term effects, such as addiction. It is very common. Users must have the drug in order to function, and it becomes the most important thing in their life. How am I going to obtain this drug? How am I going to acquire it? We find that tolerance leads to greater amounts. They have to have more of that drug. Stopping causes severe withdrawal effects that can even be worse than heroin withdrawal. Causes anxiety, convulsions, and even death. If pregnant mothers use these sedatives, it can also cause birth defects in their child. But thirdly, there is also something that's called hallucinogens or psychedelics. They affect the brain, causing one to lose touch with reality. Again, the hallucinations are there. This also includes LSD, mescaline, PCP, and the short-term effects are rapid mood swings. We don't know what they're going to do. There is also seeing and hearing things that are unreal. There is panic. There is confusion. There is anxiety. There is bizarre, violent behavior. A person may think that while he's on these drugs that he can fly and may even jump out of a window because he really thinks he can fly. But drugs, my friend, are dangerous. LSD, there can be flashbacks even after you stop using LSD for some time, weeks that go by. This person can still be having these violent flashbacks. Long-term effects, again, are brain damage, impaired memory, mental confusion. And fourthly, there's another group called narcotics, derivatives of the opium plant, such things as morphine, codeine, and heroin. And some of these are actually used for medical pain relievers. Some authorities also include cocaine, but we're going to separate cocaine, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But with these narcotics, there is intoxication or a high with a false sense of well-being. There is an alternating stage between drowsiness and alertness, and large doses can even cause death. But yet there are some long-term effects. Addiction is almost certain. Larger doses are required to even get a greater high, and that's what the person wants. Now, fifthly, there is another drug, and that is marijuana, and I stated it separately because this is the most often drug used today, marijuana. We find that it is also sometimes referred to as grass, pot, or weed, or Mary Jane, and its most active ingredient in marijuana is THC. Now, here's something else to think about. The marijuana that we have today, the marijuana that is on the streets today, is 10 times more potent than it was back in the 70s. And I find that alarming and quite scary. But yet these are some of the drugs that have found our ways into Christian homes. These are some drugs that now have found our way not only into high school and junior high, but also into middle school, and it is quite scary. But there are some long-term effects. Psychological dependence upon this drug. They need more to get the same effect. This drug will also cause people to lose interest, maybe in school, maybe in the workplace, to lose their jobs, maybe even lose their families. But there are also some short-term effects that go along with all these things and long-term effects. But no doubt, these things are dangerous. A mother who uses these things can kill their child. A father who uses these drugs can indeed kill his family, if not physically, spiritually speaking. But let's make some application this morning. Why should children of God not use drugs, especially illegal drugs or abuse drugs? Now, keep in mind that the Word of God does not mention the word drug, but at the same time, it does not mention the word rape. But yet we know it is sinful. We know that it is wrong. Because of the fruits that it gives. But first of all, we want to mention that drug abuse is illegal. Almost all of these drugs you cannot even get with a prescription from the doctor. Most cannot even be obtained and very hard to obtain, but yet our young people are getting a hold of these drugs. But the use for social purposes, to get a pleasure, to get a high, or to escape reality is illegal. And marijuana, keeping in mind, is illegal to sell. It's illegal even to give away. It's illegal to possess. Possession of less than a gram can lead you to a year in prison. You have more than that, you can be spending a long time in prison. But secondly, to partake of or to use illegal drugs is also to disobey civil law. And that is a sin against God. In Romans chapter 13 and verses 1 through 5, it says that the government has been ordained by God. We resist the government. We resist the laws of the land. At the same time, we resist God. Not only, as we are going to see, is it immoral. Not only is it unscriptural for a child of God to use, but it is against the laws of our land. And according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13 through 14, as Christians, we are to submit to every ordinance of our government. But this ought to settle the matter for any true believer. Drug abuse, including marijuana, is illegal and it is sinful. There are some people who right now favor the idea and for some time wanted to make marijuana legal. But even though if it becomes legal, there are still some reasons why Christians should not partake of marijuana. One of those reasons why is because drug abuse constitutes intoxication. Now, some of us may find it very surprising how dictionaries still define intoxication, and I want you to hear the definition. It says to affect temporary with diminished control over the physical and mental powers by means of alcoholic liquor, a drug, or other substance. Now, notice by that definition, and that definition is taken from one of our current dictionaries today. It says there, if mental, physical powers are diminished, whether by alcohol or whether by drug, that is intoxication. But first of all, drugs have been described as one that will alter the person's state of mind. Drugs is something that causes intoxication. Now, there are many quotes, many of these things. I, of course, do not think of myself, but these are people who have studied drugs. These are people who have studied the effects of drugs upon not only upon young people, but also those who are older. And here are some of the things that they have found. One marijuana cigarette causes a 41% decrease in driving skills. Living in Austin for 2 years while I was at the Southwest School of Bible Studies, I can honestly say there are not too many people in Austin who have good driving skills as it is. But one marijuana cigarette will decrease that by 41%. You smoke two of them and your driving skills decrease by 63%. Even marijuana use while driving is just as deadly as drinking while driving, and maybe even more so. But the fact has been proven many times over. Even one single marijuana cigarette produces intoxication. Now, there is also something else I want you to keep in mind about marijuana, and that is it is the mildest drug that we are studying. Out of all those other drugs that I mentioned, marijuana is the mildest one. And some people look at it, well, if it's not that bad, I think I can use it. I know the scriptures disagree with it, but I'm going to use it. Well, there are some things that we want to look at, because even this mildest drug produces intoxication. But secondly, the Bible also clearly rebukes intoxication. Like our English word, the Greek word for drunk refers to intoxication, to drunkenness, to get drunk, to become intoxicated. But as Christians, we are to cast off the works of darkness and properly and walk properly, not in drunkenness. Romans 13 verses 12 through 14. We as a child of God cannot make provisions to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And keep in mind that is what illegal drug use is all about. It's for self-gratification. But indeed, the works of the flesh are mentioned there in Galatians chapter 5 verse 19 through 21, 1 Corinthians 6. 9 through 11. But people who are guilty of drunkenness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. That's what the Word of God has to say. If a church member commits drunkenness, that person should be withdrawn from if he does not repent. And yet how common it is today to find someone within the Lord's church who practices drunkenness, whether it is by drinking alcohol, whether it is becoming intoxicated by their first sip, or whether it is done by marijuana. It's intoxication. But we should not keep company with such a person. Yes, we should try to get them to repent. We should teach them about drugs. We can use this information, this book, to help many people that are out there in the world today. Our young people need to hear these great lessons that we have in this lectureship. And I think that there is something to be said before they ever use it. Teach them what the Word of God has to say about it. So that way, when that choice comes, and that choice will come, whether or not to have sex before marriage, whether or not to be involved in drugs, that they will have their heart remade, had their heart and their mind made up, as David did when Potiphar's wife made sexual advances towards him. He did not want to sin against God. But intoxication violates God's word. But even one marijuana cigarette causes intoxication. But we think about thoroughly, drug abuse is a lack of sobriety, is also a lack of self-control. One of the main reasons why God condemns intoxication is that as Christians, we face many serious temptations. Satan is alive and well today. He works 24/7. He takes no vacation. And he's very good at his job, and that is taking one soul. All Satan has to do is put God in second place, and he has had the victory. We find he is taking victory over many people's life with the temptation of drugs. First, mind-altering drugs weakens a person's mind or ability to think clearly. It's hard for a person to think what is the difference between what is right and what is wrong. It's already hard enough today without drugs, but on drugs, it complicates the matter. But secondly, the Bible forbids participating for the sake of personal pleasure in practices that hinder our moral judgment or weaken our self-control. Being sober is the opposite of being drunk, and it is associated with being alert and being watchful. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 8. Doesn't the book of Ephesians tell us to walk circumspectly? There are some things that are out there that are dangerous. There are some things that are out there that can take us away from Jesus, if not become an idol in our life, and that is just by it becoming first place in our life. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 through 9, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 through 9. As we're going to look at this verse tells us that we need to be sober so we can guard against the devil and resist him so that we may not be devoured by him. But there in 1 Peter chapter 5 in verses 8 through 9, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." But Satan is out there as a roaring lion. If we know that a roaring lion was outside this building, none of us would go out there, I'm sure, unless we had some type of weapon. It had to be a pretty good weapon, I'm sure. But yet, many times we're going out in the world today. We don't even take our weapon with us. We don't even take the sword of the Spirit with us. We don't have the Word of God laid up in our hearts. Just like in a war, if a person's walking out in the battlefield, there are many people walking out there in the battlefield not even realizing we're in a war and being killed all the day long. But we need to realize that Satan is destroying families. He is devouring people with drugs. He is separating families. He is separating people from congregations of the Lord. And we must be watchful for his devices and for his traps. But drug abuse also tempts people to fall into further into deeper into sin. We find the Bible warns us to avoid temptations and evil influences. Turn over in your Bibles to Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Notice what Solomon says in this great book about wisdom. It says, "A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." But notice what this verse is saying. Instead of walking into dangerous situations, we should be hiding from those things. We should be staying away from drugs. Paul states in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, "Be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good manners or good morals." No doubt, drugs does that. People associated with drugs can do that. Our friends, because of peer pressure, can cause us to do many things that we should not get involved in. But as Christians, we should pray that God would deliver us from temptation. Matthew 6, verse 13. But yet when we use drugs and when we give in to drugs, keep in mind we're praying for something that we ourselves get involved in. We walk right into it. We use it and we are like so many. Well, I'm not going to get addicted. There are many people who are in prison right now that are addicted to drugs and went to prison because of it. But don't let that be the case with your children or with your family. Over in Matthew chapter 18, verses 8 through 9, gives us some great words. And many times these verses here, Matthew 18, verses 8 through 9, are misunderstood. But notice something that Jesus Christ has to say here. He says, "Wherefore, if your hand or your foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. For it is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is better that you enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes that be cast into the fire of hell." Now, what is Jesus trying to get across here? There are some things in this world today that we might need to stay away from, especially if we are addicted to it. A man who is an alcoholic, a man who uses drugs. It may be that we go buy drugs down a certain street. If you want to give up drugs, don't even drive down that street. Take a detour. If you got a problem with alcohol, maybe we should not go down that street where they sell alcohol. Maybe if we have friends who use drugs or drink, maybe it's time that we get some new friends. Is it easy to do? No, it's not. I had some friends in high school I ran around with quite a bit when I was in high school. Well, when we were younger, when we got to high school, I stopped hanging around them. They got involved in drugs. I tried to talk to them. I tried to plead with them. Some of my best friends. I grew up since kindergarten together. But I realized I had to make some changes in my life if I wanted to stay away from drugs. My parents were divorced. My dad worked at night. I was all, me and my brothers, so we're pretty much by ourselves all night. We could have stayed out all night if we wanted to. But we never drank. We never smoked. We never got in trouble with the law, even though my father was not there and taking care of four boys by himself. Why is it? Because I respected my father. How sad it would have been if I would have become addicted to drugs and how that would have disappointed my father. It wasn't something that I was going to do. And keep in mind, when I was younger, I was not a Christian. I didn't become a Christian until I was 18 years old. Many things I could have gotten involved from, but I'm glad I had God's word. And that I knew that I cannot hang around some of my friends. But yet there are some things maybe we need to cut off and sever from our life to make sure that we do not get hooked on drugs. Some people we need to avoid, some people we need to stay away from. But secondly, we need to look at some applications of the principle to drug abuse. The use of drug abuse is wrong from the very beginning because all involvement tempts us to a greater drug use. We find that people start out with marijuana, but they eventually go on to drugs that are even far more addicting and also destroy the body a lot faster. Just as a person who becomes an alcoholic does not become an alcoholic by drinking 2 6-packs of beer. What does he start out with? He starts out with a sip, then maybe two beers, and he goes on till he becomes an alcoholic. The same thing is true with a person who uses drugs. Starts out with a small drug, maybe marijuana. Now keep in mind it causes great harm to the body, even the least of the drugs. But before they know it, those walls are torn down. And they move on to those heavier drugs. But the person starts out because of peer pressure. He gives into the temptation of others. We find that he becomes weaker as he takes these drugs. Now, Genesec declares, and keep in mind that this is an expert when it comes to researching these drugs, and he says, research shows that peer pressure, wanting to be a part of the crowd, is the most likely reason why people start using grass. Virtually all who become addicted to hard drugs started with marijuana, which distorted their judgment and put them into the drug scene. And he goes on to say 90% of those using hard drugs, such as heroin, started out with marijuana. I'm sure if you were to do some studies on alcoholism, it started with one sip. It started with maybe one can of beer. But the same thing is true with marijuana. And yet another quote, an early effect of marijuana and hashish use is a progressive loss of willpower. So that marijuana users too often fall victim to harder drugs, drug pushers, extortionists, and deviants. And Monnet also had something to add on to this, and I want you to hear what he had to say. Although marijuana serves as the major gateway drug into the use of illegal drugs, the major gateway drugs into marijuana use are two legal drugs, which are tobacco and alcohol. A child's decision to begin smoking cigarettes is one of the most important factors that he or she will use marijuana. But I find that to be very interesting. Notice, how does marijuana use and abusing drugs get started? Again, by two legal drugs. By drinking and by smoking. He found that in every single case that he's looked at. It's how people get started. Abusing maybe some lesser drugs. Well, it's not as bad as some of these other drugs, so let's use them. But keep in mind, they get started in small amounts. Now, as we speak about drug abuse, many times we are so excited to talk about all the problems that we have in the world today, and we spend so little time discussing how to overcome drugs. And here are some things. We find, unfortunately, today there are many people who are using drugs. They could be illegal drugs that they're abusing, such as in the medicine cabinet, or illegal drugs that are out there. And it ruins their lives, not only here upon the earth, but also for eternity. And we got to think about that. It ruins the people's lives here. And no doubt, if it's not repented of and they do not change, it can ruin their lives in eternity to come. But from end to tragic end, we find that drug abuse indeed is a shame. People of good judgment, people who follow the word of God, should not get involved in it, because indeed it is sinful and we should avoid it. Likewise, there are some things that we need to keep in mind. People need to realize that Jesus Christ is the answer and not drugs. To some people, drugs is their Jesus. But it leads them down a false road. A road, once we get there, is a tragic end. And it's a place where we never intended to be. And I have talked with some people who have used and abused drugs. I have met some people in my high school after getting out of high school. They said it was foolishness, getting involved in drugs, all the things that they did just to impress people. And they regret it. I look at my life compared to others who use drugs, and not to be boastful, but I feel like my life has turned out far better than theirs ever, that theirs ever have or ever will be. That's simply because I committed my life to the Word of God. I have happiness while they're suffering. I have joy in my family, with my wife and my kids, while they're still facing the consequences of decisions that they made early in their life. But God provides the means to handle any temptation or any problem of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there is nothing out there, no sin too hard that we, or too impossible that we cannot overcome. He has given us a way of escape, and it is the Word of God. You follow that, and I guarantee you will have a more happy life upon this earth. Not to say that some problems will come, because certainly they will. But we don't need to escape reality by means of drugs. You can avoid drugs and your needs can be met in Jesus. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul had something great to say. He said there, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. It is possible for one to stop drug abuse. It is possible for one to come away from it. Is it hard to do? Surely it is. Will it take quite a bit of effort? Yes, it will. Will it take family members getting involved? Sure, it will. But Jesus provides all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. But a life of drugs is a life of despair. It's a life of guilt. It's a life of hopelessness. It is a life of sorrow. It is a life of eventually death, not only physically, but also eternally. But Jesus is the real answer. He is the way of hope. He is the way of life. John 14 verse 6. He is the way of forgiveness. And he is the way of eternal life. But if we have ever used drugs, or if you are addicted to drugs, you can be forgiven. You can change your habits. You can be free from the guilt of sin. John 8 verse 32, Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It will even set you free from the bondage of drugs. But that's what the truth does. The church in Corinth indeed had many people who were drunkards. People who were involved in homosexuality, as we see in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. But these people were washed. They were cleansed by the blood of Jesus. They were justified. Coming away from the sin of homosexuality, is that hard to do? Yes, it is. I'm sure it is. Coming away from alcoholism or drug addiction, it's hard to do. But Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation, and he's able to save to the uttermost those who turn in obedience to him. Hebrews 5, 9, Hebrews 7, 25. Well, this morning, please heed to the Savior's invitation. When he says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. People who abuse drugs have a heavy burden that they carry on their shoulders each and every day. The yoke of Jesus is so easy, but yet we carry a burden on us that God never meant us to carry on our shoulders. They try to carry it alone. When someone is having problems with alcohol, with drugs, they usually don't want to talk about it. Many times we have to initiate the treatment. We have to speak to them. And sometimes it takes more than once, and it always does. Talk to them why they should not use drugs, what it's doing to their life, what it's doing to their soul. But we as family members need to get family members involved with this person. Maybe we need to go to the elders of the church, say, I have a problem with drugs. Can you help me? Maybe we want them to go with us. Maybe take a preacher along with us and talk to that family member. But we need to support them. We need to help them overcome their addiction. If we don't feel safe talking to them, maybe we need to get professional help in our community to help get them off drugs. In conclusion, I never forget one commercial that I saw on television, and it was a car commercial. I don't remember what the car commercial, what the car was that they were selling. But anyway, it pictured an SUV. This SUV was driving on an asphalt road, and this voice came and said, go further. Soon enough, they were driving on a dirt road, and this voice came again, go further. Before you know it, they were driving on some through some forest, and the voice came again, go further. Then it was driving on some rocks, and the voice said, go further. And at the end of the commercial, the car drives off the cliff, and it says, gone too far. But yeah, that's what it's like with drugs. Start off with smallest amounts, the drug and Satan tempting you, go further, until you have gone too far and you have hit rock bottom. Cost you your salvation, cost you your family, cost you your job, cost you many things. But once you hit that rock bottom, there's still someone there who is with you. And his name is Christ Jesus. And him along with the Word of God can help you to overcome that sin. And he can lift you up once again on eagle's wings. And make you the man or woman of God that you truly can be. And spend the rest of your life preaching the truth of Jesus Christ, maybe helping those who have become involved in drugs. This morning, if you have become involved in drugs, you know someone who is involved in drugs, there is help that is out there. There is help with God's Word. There are people who are Christians now that once used drugs who can talk to these individuals and help them overcome that addiction. Let us pray for those who are using drugs. Let us be good stewards of our bodies so that those things may never enter our body, that we may not become intoxicated with those things. This morning, I appreciate your time. I thank you for listening, for looking up some of the scriptures. I appreciate you for being here. This drug problem is only going to get worse. And we need people who are going to go out and preach the truth, especially teach our young people using this great book that we have about the truth about drugs. Thank you for your time and thank you for your attention.